I was just thinking last week we had a harder, interesting topic last week, and it's just so cool, just all the encouragement I got on that topic. Just grateful to be at a church where we want to talk on those things, hear what God's Word says about a variety of things. Grateful for you and grateful what God's doing here. Let's see, where's Charlie? There she is. Come on up, Charlie. All right. Yeah, give Charlie a hand. So every fifth Sunday, which happens about four times a year, we call it family style worship, where we just have the kids stay in here with us. I don't see a whole lot of them in here today, but we've got a few in here. But to go along with this, I asked Charlie if she would pray for us as we get into God's Word, and she said yes. So thanks for praying, Charlie. What grade are you in?
Ninth
grade. All right. Well, we're glad to have you pray for us.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that all of the people who are at church today could gather to worship you and help share the word. Lord, I pray for Pastor Keith that you would speak through him today, and so he knows what to say. I thank you for all that you've done in life. I thank you for the weather today. I pray for all those who are sick that you would heal them. And I pray for all those who are hurt that you would also heal them. And Lord, I pray for anyone who is in a bad place, whether it's stress, anxiety, or anything like that, that you would help them to get better. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Charlie. All right. Yes. Yes. Well, the topic that we're going to be talking about today is friendship. We're going to be looking at what Proverbs says about friendship. So to kick us off, one of the things we often do with the children's ministry is we like to start with some questions and hear from them a little bit. So they may need some backup. I'm like, we'll see if anybody wants to share. If the little kids don't have anything to say, we may ask some of the big kids, all right? And I mean big kids like, you know, kids at heart. So all right, so kids, when you hear friendship, what are some things that come to mind? Anybody? Anybody brave enough to speak? Over here? Yes, Rehan. Friends. When you hear friendship, you think friends. You think people, right? Very good. Very good. Who else? Who's got something? Charlie? Jesus? He's a friend, right? Very good. Very good. Yep. Shilpa? Trust. Very good. Yes, friends. Friends are people that you can trust. Yes, way back there in the back, I think that's Lorenzo. Friendship. Very good. When you say friends, friendship, trust. You got any others? Anybody? Peyton? Loyalty. Ah, that's a good one. Because, you know, if he's a friend, but then he just, like, they don't show up when you need it. Yeah, yeah, loyalty. That's good. One more. Rehan? Love. There you go. That's a great one, too. Is that a big kid back there? Furniture mover. Hey, can I get an amen? Amen. Yes, that's a friend. When you got somebody that shows up to your house to help you move, that is a true friend. That's really good. Who are some people, when you think friends, is there any friendships that you think of? Any characters? Anybody? Emma, who do you think of? Oh, I put you on the spot. You were just nodding. Anybody else? Anybody think of famous friends? Peyton? Your best friend, Marissa? Yeah, very good. Rehan? Abraham and God. Very good. Some biblical characters. Yeah, Abraham. Another big kid here with a... David and Jonathan. Yes, we have actually got some coloring sheets in the back for the kids, and one of them is of David and Jonathan. So, very good. Anybody else? Hollis, you got somebody? Pray for God. We pray for God. That's right. That's right. Hey, this is what's fun with the kids. They always keep it interesting, all right? You just never know what's going to come up. That's good. Friends will pray together. So one that I was thinking of, we have it on the screen, one of the famous friendships. That's Mark and Andrew from a few years ago. No, I'm just kidding. That is Samwise and Frodo Baggins from Lord of the Rings, that's right. You remember these hobbits, beloved hobbits, and they're buddies, they're hanging out, but then as things get bad and they have to take the, I can't remember, the ring of power or whatever, is that right? Ring of what? Ring of, oh, you're going to have to watch it now, I thought that. All the kids are going to go home, we just need to watch that movie. So they're good friends. They have to take the ring and destroy it, Mount Doom. And it's really interesting that Frodo is the main character of the story, but most people would say the real hero is Sam, because Sam is by his side the whole time, saving his life time after time, protecting him from, I don't know, orcs and all the other stuff, and Saruman, the wizard. And then in the very end, remember they get to Mount Doom? We have a picture of this. And Frodo can't make it, so what does Sam do? He puts him on his back and he carries him up. I mean, just this great epitome of friendship, where there's love, there's trust, there's faithfulness. I mean, this is a notch above moving boxes on the moving van, right? Like, he picked the man up and carried him. That's a friend. So as we think about friendship, we can think about all these neat things, these, you know, Samwise and Frodo and being loyal and together. We all have a longing for that. We all long for that. God has created us to be in community, a community where we desire companionship and friendship. But you know what's really interesting? We all desire that. But do you know that we live in a time where many people say that we are in an age of a loneliness epidemic? An epidemic. If I were to tell you there is a flu epidemic going on, you would be like, oh my goodness, let me run and let me get some stuff. I'm going to get some herbs and some other things. Others are like, I'm going to run by the pharmacy. Like, you're going to do all these things because you're concerned about this epidemic. We're in a loneliness epidemic. U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy, in his advisory on this issue a couple years ago, he says this. He said, people began to tell me they felt isolated, invisible, and insignificant. Even when they couldn't put their finger on the word lonely, time and time again, people of all ages, all socioeconomic backgrounds, from every corner of the country would tell me, I have to shoulder all of life's burdens by myself. Or, if I disappear tomorrow, no one would even notice. Isn't that interesting? He says, it was a light bulb moment for me. Social disconnection was far more common than I realized. We all have a desire for friendship, but I think we'd also say we all feel the disconnect that is in our society. We all have this longing to know others and to be known, but we also feel how difficult it can be, right? Don't we all feel that? Anybody feel that? Anybody? All right, we're getting a few on. Yeah, we all feel that. We feel how things are in our society. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at some Proverbs that help direct us on how can we build friendship. What does God call us to do as friends? So we're looking at Proverbs. We're a series in the book of Proverbs. We've been covering a number of themes. This week's theme is friendship. So I want to give you a couple things to direct how you think about friendship. First thing, be present with others. Be present with others. I know that may seem novel, but if you're friends with somebody, you probably hang out with them, right? You probably spend time with them. So if you want to build friendships, you need to spend time with them. You know, I think one of the great challenges for us today in this part of the world, the Western world that we live in, is that, man, we value money. We want money. We are rich financially. We are impoverished socially. A lot of people will go to third world countries and be like, man, everybody's poor and everybody's happy. I come home, everybody's wealthy and depressed. What is going on? It's interesting how those things can go together. They go together. If we're spending all of our time just thinking about how can we acquire more and we're not investing in relationships, that's what happens. Lots of studies on how social networks are getting smaller and smaller. People used to spend, the average time spent alone in 2003, it was 142 hours, and it's up to 166 hours a month. Time we spend engaged with friends socially. In 2003, it was 30 hours a month, and today it's less than 10 hours a month. that people will spend engaged with friends. Obviously, the hardest hit communities of that are those who are under the age of 24. God made us for community. He made us to need others, to depend on others, to be used in the lives of other people. So when we don't engage in friendship, we suffer, but also the others suffer as well. And so we want to experience what God has created us for. We need to give ourselves to that. A verse on the screen, this is Ecclesiastes 4:9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and is not another to lift him up. So we need companionship. So this is where I need some help. Let's see. I need a helper I can push around a little bit. Colt, you're fantastic. Come on up. Come on up, buddy. Yep. Come up on stage. And I need two others. You bring one person up with you. Yep. One person. Let's see. We'll get somebody from this side. Any volunteers from this side? Rehan, you come up. All right. Watch your step there. It's dangerous. That's what we need friends for. So, okay. So we got three people up here. So if I want to, I can kind of push Colt around right now. Like, hey, y'all want you go over here, you know? He can't do a whole lot, right? Like, he's kind of on his own. Okay, so now you guys lock arms together. Yep, do that. All right, so now if I come up, I'm going to push. Oh, man, he's a lot harder. He's anchored, right? Like, he's got two people on the side of him keeping him from getting pushed around, right? That's what friendship is like, right? All right. Good job. Give me five. I don't know what that is. Give me five. All right. Good job. Give them a hand. So that's what that verse is speaking to, how we, you know, if we're all alone, we can get pushed and pulled very easily. But when we have others, a cord of three strands, it's not easily broken. One strand, little friction, it breaks and you're in trouble, right? Cord of three strands, it's not easily broken. And so that's a physical demonstration of what we need socially and what we need emotionally, isn't it? We need somebody to be present with us, but we also need people to engage in those other things. That's what God has for us. That's what we need to recognize that. You know, if you recognize you're hungry, what do? You eat. Man, I'm hungry, I eat. Sometimes we have loneliness. It's a symptom of something that's going on. It's a symptom that you're not following God's plan. It's a symptom that you need relationships. You need people in your lives. Another verse on this. Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I tell our kids this all the time. If you want to have good friends, you need to be a good friend. If you want to have good friends, you need to be a good friend. You need to be there. You need to be faithful. You want to be trustworthy. You want to stand by them when things are hard. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. To be a friend is to someone is essential to loving them, right? If you're going to love them, you don't just love them when it's easy. You love them when it's difficult. You love them in those times where maybe you don't know exactly what to say. Maybe you don't have the exact words, but you love them, and you're like, I just want to be with you. You know, a lot of times when we look at things, it's like, man, so-and-so is going through something, and I just don't know what to say. Let me just bail. You know, hey, they're going through a hard time. Man, I don't want to have to move Matthew again. Man, I've already moved him twice. Do I have to show up again, right? It's loving when it's inconvenient. That's what God calls us to do. It's loving people when it's sacrificial. And we're going to see that how Scripture directs us to do that. And this is one of those things where sometimes, you know, if you're not a Christian, or even if you are a Christian, it really gets at, what is your worldview? Do you have a view of being there for people, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult? And even Christians at times, you have not gone very deep in the Word, and so when people go through a hard time, you don't know what to say. And this is something that we want to get in shape spiritually, because you're going to suffer at some point. You want to get in shape spiritually because your friends are going to go through hard times. They're going to need you. We want to be prepared for those times. We want to love others in that. And we want to get close enough to people to actually know what's going on. It's very easy. Oh, yeah, hey, we're buds. Well, did you know that? Remember the old commercial? The guys are golfing, they spend, or maybe he's a comedian, the guys, you know, they're out golfing all day long and get to him, hey, how's so-and-so? I heard he broke up with his girlfriend. How's this going? The guy's like, I don't know. How am I supposed to know that? Well, you just played golf for 4 hours. You didn't ask. You didn't get to know. We want to be the type of people that press into those things. We want to get close enough to people to actually know what's going on in life. It means that we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny our comfort and help others. This is the same thing that Jesus taught. Matthew 5:12 says, my commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friend. This proverb shows the importance of being there for other people, not just the good times, but the hard times as well. Being there through thick and thin. Adversity, it's distress, it's calamity, it's anguish. All those things that sometimes we're tempted to run from, but we want to press into that. We want to be a brother who clings, right? It says clings to each other. We want to be someone who doesn't leave your side, is faithful and trusting. What does it say about our love if as soon as it gets difficult, we walk away? As soon as it gets difficult, we're a no-show. As soon as it's difficult, we don't answer their calls or text, right? No, we want to press in. We want to be good friends. And yes, it's sacrificial, but we want to love others and do that for them. You know, you could even talk about a lot of our expectations in church reflect what we think about friendship. A lot of times we treat church and other things as we treat our friends. I hear it a lot. And let me, I'm going to split hairs a little bit. You know, every now and then people, you know, they'll talk about church and it's like, well, hey, I want to come and find community. I want to find community. And I always tell people, this church is a terrible place to find community. And what I mean by that is we often treat community like a pot of gold, right? We've got a pot of gold up there. Pot of gold, right? Like, hey, look what I found. Like, I just found it, and it's here, and it's ready-made. What I say is this is a terrible place to find community. It's a fantastic place to build community. You've got to build it. You've got to put effort into it. Everybody wants to come in. Like, everybody wants friendships where it's like, hey, I just showed up. We all click. They know everything about me. They love me and accept me. They're there to help me out and never let me down, right? I mean, we all want that, but that's the pot of gold friendship, right? It's like, hey, I just want to go and find it. And that is an illusion. Because if you're going to have friends, you've got to invest in it. You've got to invest your time and your presence with other people. It doesn't just happen. Maybe you're thinking about, hey, I want to be a millionaire. Well, then you need to invest some money, right? You got to put some capital into that. If that's your goal, and so if our goal is to have good friends and to be friends, then we have to invest in that. We can't just be looking for the pot of gold. What you need to look for is a couple odd pieces of lumber, a few nails, and say, hey, can we put some elbow work into this and start building something? That's what God calls us to. Community is not something that just happens. It's something that we invest in and we build towards. You know, a lot of times we, in church, we try and create ways, small groups or things like that, to build community. And, you know, oftentimes Christians, we won't engage in those things. We'll say, well, hey, I don't want to be legalistic and just have to do that. But we also say, well, what ways are you getting together with others? What ways are you praying for them and knowing what's going on? Are we okay on the sound? Sound, can you hear it? Can everybody hear it? I'm not hearing it up here. Okay. You know, what ways can you hear or what ways can you find out what's going on in other people's lives to help them and to care for them and know what's going on? If you have no idea how you can pray for somebody, if you have no idea what's going on in life, there's an opportunity to grow in your friendship. We want to be there for other people. It's interesting. Proverbs, another proverb that also helps us to get at the heart of what's going on. Proverbs 18:1, it says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. So one of the things that we see this, why do we isolate ourselves? Anybody? Any kids? Why do we isolate ourselves? What are we seeking? Anybody? What's that? Man with four young kids says we're seeking quiet. That's right. What's that? Anybody? What are we seeking? What's it say we're seeking? Peace. It says we're seeking our own desire. Yes. So, good point. There are times that a little isolation can be helpful, right? There are times that we need to recharge. We see that in Jesus' life. At times, he withdrew in the morning. He went and read his Bible. He had a quiet time. We need some quiet time. We need some downtime. I love being with people. I love it. I try to make time for that. I need to recharge being alone. My wife is the opposite. She loves being around people. She recharges around people. I'm like, I need a break. Like, let me go in my garage and just be quiet for a little bit. So, yes, there are times for that. But this is what it's getting at is that at times we seek our own desire and we cut ourselves off from other people. A lot of times that's what it is. You know, when we don't want to be around other people, we want to preserve our own way. I don't want to have any compromises. I've got we have the pizza picture up there. You guys know what that is? Oh, you nailed it. That's not just a pizza. That is an anchovy pizza. Anchovy pizza. Who all likes anchovy pizzas? Wow. Okay. All right. We got a few. I don't believe you should ever put a fish on a pizza. So if I'm like hanging out with friends, I'm glad I got applause for that one, right? If I'm hanging out with friends, like, I don't want to order anchovy pizza, right? So you're like, man, I want to get pizza tonight, but hey, if we hang out with them, I might have to make some compromises. There's an inconvenience of friendship. And that's part of the sacrifice. Like, yeah, hey, you might have to order that anchovy pizza. If I want to hang out with Bob, you know, I'm going to have to order anchovy pizza. Okay. You know, a lot of times and this is where our society, it so caters to the individuality that we miss the community. It so caters to, I want these few things, and if I don't have these few things, I'm not going anywhere. And so we just end up all alone, by ourselves, with no one else around. And then as we get more and more used to that, you know, one of the things that happens is we become less and less tolerant of inconveniences. Can I get an amen? You get less and less tolerant of inconveniences. You know, the kid making a noise, it feels like he's screaming, right? The anchovies on the pizza, oh my goodness. We don't know how to handle those things. We are less relationally tolerant. We've got to learn ways to love other people. And you know, one of the biggest contributors to this, I'm going to step on some toes, maybe some fingers, is the phone, right? The phone. Hey, are you present with your kids? Yep, sure am. Where are they at? I have no idea. Look at what's going on in the game, right? You know, so the phone gives us an illusion of being present. Hey, we're all around the dinner table, but everybody is in their own world. That's one of the things, like we just ban phones at the table. Like you can't, I'm not doing that, you're not doing that. We want to be together. We want to be with people. And just the distraction of the digital age, right? Man, there's so many blessings in the digital age. But we've got to manage those. We've got to keep them in their place because those little things can creep in and just totally take you away from the very people you should be building with relationally. So funny to see people, you know, you go anywhere. You go out to eat and people are on their phones. And you're like, all of you are on your phones and yet you are struggling in isolation, right? We've got to recognize that and not give into it. We want to be present. Be present physically, be present mentally, be present emotionally. So that's the first thing that we see in Proverbs is that we need to be present with the people that we love. Second thing to see is that we should seek to sharpen people. Let me quote one of the most famous proverb, I'm willing to say. You'll see it in a variety of places. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We have an image of that. It's a cool image, right? Iron sharpening iron. Do we have the forge somewhere on there? There we go. You know, get a little metal working going on. Probably one of the most well-known proverbs. You know, we think about it in sports teams. Hey, we sharpen each other. Best players want to play against the best players because you get better. Think about in the workplace. Man, I want to hire somebody that is good at what they do because it's going to sharpen me. It's going to make me better. I want that. I want that vocationally. I want that in my friends. I want that spiritually. But, you know, something that often gets overlooked in that sharpening, you know what it takes to sharpen metal? Friction. Friction, right? Get sharpened by friction. You got any friction in your relationships? You got any friction going on with your friends? You got any friction going on with your spouse? Man, that is God's design to sharpen you, to make you better. Sharpen you spiritually, sharpen you morally, sharpen you just as a loving, caring human being. To sharpen you into the person that God wants you to be, and the only way he's going to get you to be who you need to be is to provide some friction in your life. So don't resent your friends when they're creating a little friction in your life. You might just want to thank them, hey, thanks for being a good friend and creating a little friction. I'm growing, I'm sharpening, and you know what? I'm going to give you a little friction back. All right, we need to love each other in that. That is part of God's design. There is no perfect friend out there. There is no perfect spouse. There's no perfect friend that just has it all together. And if there were, you would test that, right? You would test it. You would help them to see that they're not perfect. And so we need to sharpen each other. We want to sharpen each other on how we think about things. We need to sharpen each other on our character, what we know of the Word of God. You know, and this is where it's neat. Like, you may be spending time with a friend, and inevitably something will come up. Like, maybe you got a new toy. You got a new toy, and you know, when you have a new toy, you're very protective of that toy, right? Like, maybe you got a new phone, or I don't know, a remote control airplane. Someone got a really cool remote control airplane in our house. I was having a blast flying it. He said, Dad, you can't fly it anymore. You're making it go too high. And I'm like, hey, easy, you're being too protective. And he said, well, Dad, you're being careless. A little sharpening going on there, right? May not have been his exact words, but it was generally that. There's a sharpening that happens. There's a sharpening that happens in your family, a sharpening that happens with your friends. And one of the key ways that we can think about sharpening each other is with the Word of God. Christian friends should bring the Word of God to bear in their lives. Let me read a couple other Proverbs. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of the enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Friends, you know, we always say, God will cut you like a surgeon. He's not intending to do harm. He's going to cut you in a way to heal you. Sometimes friends do that same thing. Share words of truth. Maybe it's your 8-year-old kid saying something. Hey, Dad, well, you're getting kind of worked up about this, right? Is this an idol in your life? Hey, I don't want to hear it. Right? Those are faithful words. It's amazing how even you kids, you can sharpen your parents. Real friends speak into our lives. They speak with substance, not just personal opinions, but you're getting it. You're applying the Word of God in your life. That's what we want to have. Proverbs 9, verse 8, it says, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Reprove a wise man, he gets wiser, and he will love you for doing that. Give instruction to a wise man, he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. That's what we want our friendships to be like, where we have friends that are sharpening us and pushing us, helping us to grow. And the greatest thing we can do for somebody else is to help them grow in their relationship with God, right? If you want to be used by God, if you want to do something significant, man, when we get into that level of friendship, we have something deep going on. We have something meaningful, purposeful. It shapes our lives. That's what we should want, we should crave, we should long for, we should seek to build that. Because we have God's Word, what else would we be reproving people with? Not just personal opinions. When we know what is right and wrong in God's Word, we have a tool that shapes our friendships. We have a tool that shapes our lives. That's what he calls us to do, to correct and admonish and encourage one another. That's what friends do. There's no word, there's no wisdom. No word, there's no way to sharpen one another. But when we have God's Word, then we do have wisdom, and we have something that guides us and directs us, and that is what brings us into what I call the deepest level of human relationship. Well, we're not just talking about the weather. We're not just talking about the sports team, though I really hope Tennessee beats Houston today. Just saying. There's a place for those things. It's fun. But they lose their fun if that's the only depth we have. When we can get into the depth of, man, what is God doing in your life? Man, I know, you know, your business, it's been a tough time this year. How is God shaping you? Hey, man, how can I pray for you? You know, it's been a challenge this year in your family. Like, what's going on? You can start talking about those things. You can talk about your fears and your struggles, your concerns. That is a deep level of human relationship that often doesn't exist without God's word and God's purpose uniting you in friendship. We want to pursue that. We want to develop that. Another proverb: the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. We've got a picture of deep water. Beautiful water, the ripples. You just want to throw a fishing hook in there, don't you? Why is the water rippling? Why? Rocks. There's rocks under there. What kind of rocks? What color? He said, the rocks, Dad, the rocks. Right. You don't know what color. Big, small? I don't know. You only see the surface. If you really want to know what's going on, you've got to put on that scuba mask and go underneath and see what's going on. Well, what's going on in your friend's life? You don't know unless you draw them out. You draw them out with questions. You draw them out. You find out what's going on. You take a deep dive because you care about them. You know, it's interesting, parenting four kids. I was thinking about this. Commonly happens. One kid gets upset at the other. Maybe we'll just say hits the other. Why'd you do that? Why gets very different responses. Same action. Well, he did this and I was angry and I wanted to punish him. Another friend, well, he said this and I was embarrassed and I was ashamed and I just wanted him to stop. Very different reactions, right? Very different ways to parent those kids. What's going on in your friends? Maybe they lost someone. Maybe a couple people. They're going to process it different ways. They're going to think through it. A man of understanding draws them out. Doesn't just jump to assumptions, but tries to figure out what's going on. What's going on in their lives? And this is one of the things that, as a church, I want us to develop. I love hearing Jeremy talk about, hey, when we came here, we felt like there's a real community. We felt like people knew each other. We want to develop this. We want to be a place that is sharpening one another spiritually, sharpening one another to be good friends, sharpening one another so that we're experiencing that in here, and then we can take this out into the world. But if you're not experiencing other friends loving you and drawing you out, asking you what God is doing in your life, pointing you to the Word and how it shapes you, you're not going to have anything to offer anybody else. Your friend's going to come up to you in the workplace and say, man, I just lost my best friend. And you're going to be like, well, hey, how was the basketball game Sunday? Right? You're not going to have anything. And guys, this is why when things get difficult in life and you have only focused on the financial side or the business and being effective and you haven't invested relationally and you feel like you don't have anything to offer. That's what's going on in those times. God has created you to be a relational being, someone who is to shape others spiritually. And if you neglect that, you're going to get into those moments and not know what to do. I want us to be a church that we are creating ways for people to experience this in small groups, in Bible studies, other things like that. Another quote. This is from Robin Williams, said this in 2009 movie, The World's Greatest Dad. Robin Williams played a dad who was dealing with his son's death, and he said this. He said, I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up all alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people who make you feel all alone. That cuts, doesn't it? That cuts. Man, to think, yeah, I've got people around me, and they don't know me. They're not interested. You feel all alone. It's the relational ineptness that is in our society today. We don't know how to talk to people. We just rely on phones. Hey, I'll hit you up on Facebook later. No, man, talk to him. Be in the presence of another person. That's what God has created us for. People come to church to know God, and yet if we're not pressing in to know them, what does that say about his love? Like God knows us. We should be willing to get to know other people. We should be willing to take time. And yes, it's messy. Sometimes you're with other people, and the kids are doing what kids do. And it's okay. It's okay for life to be a little bit messy. We want everything so well manicured that we just completely eradicate any opportunity to build relation with people and for them to really know us. We've got to be okay being who we are and being seen by other people. Don't try and, so what was it I heard a few years ago? Kim Kardashian will take 1,000 pictures before she posts one. 1,000 pictures. I got to get the right angle. I got to get the right shot. Got to get all these things. And we can kind of do the same thing. No, I'm not comfortable being seen unless they see me just the way I want to be. Sometimes parents, your kids will make you uncomfortable. It's okay. It's okay. They're being a kid. Don't stress out. Don't stress them out trying to make you look perfect. It's okay for them to be who they are. We want to know people. We want to draw them out. We want to be intentional to do that. Because I think that as we become the people God has created us to be in the church, we're going to be more effective being the people he calls us to be outside the church. But if we're not experiencing real relationship in church, we're not going to experience it outside. It starts with our walk with God. It starts with the community of God. And as we sharpen, iron sharpening iron, we're going to be sharpened to be effective witnesses, effective friends out in the world. All right, number three. Can we say this together? Love through offenses. Love through offenses. What do you do when somebody offends you? Man, I get on Twitter and I tell the whole world, I can't believe that person did that, right? Isn't that kind of the common thing? You just see it happen all the time. Like, we love to create a spectacle because we can get followers. We love to create a spectacle so we can be seen and we get sympathy. Man, love through offenses. Let me read the word so you don't think I'm just making this up, right? All right, Proverbs 17:9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Another translation says, whoever would foster love covers an offense. You want to foster love? Hey, there's times you go to your friend and you say, hey, buddy, hey, what are you thinking? But there's also times you let it go. You don't have to harp on everything. You don't have to get everyone all the time to agree with you. Another one, Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. It's his glory to overlook an offense. Certainly times, friends, we correct each other, but there are times we let it go and we forgive. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So how do we make that? How do we figure out when do I say something and when do I not? There's times with my kids where it's like I feel like, man, we're working on so many different things. I could just kind of hover around him and all day long, or him or her. I could hover around them and just, hey, don't do that. Hey, change your attitude. Hey, do this. Kind of be like a buzzer, just right? And then I think, God, thank you that you don't do that to me, right? You're gentle with me. You're loving with me. There's 1,000 things I could have done different today, and yet you loved me anyway. And that's powerful. When you see the grace of God at work in your life, you begin to have a wellspring in which you can love other people. Let me share this. I think this will help us understand. Well, wait a minute. When do I say something? When do I not? This is Elizabeth Elliot. She's her husband, Jim Elliot, was a missionary, was martyred in the 50s. But she said this. She said, a wife, if she's very generous, may allow that her husband lives up to perhaps 80% of her expectation. There's always the other 20% that she would like to change, and she may chip away at it for the whole of their married life without reducing it by very much. She may, on the other hand, simply decide to enjoy the 80%, and both of them will be happy. Husbands, you're going to get amen? You're like, yeah. All right, hey, it cuts both ways. That is a great illustration of, you know, hey, your spouse, man, they may do 80% of what you want. You can chip away at the other 20%, constantly nagging, and you probably won't get much done. You can just enjoy that 80%. You know, one of the things that we learned early in our marriage was, man, there are so many things we might could change about the other. But you know what? If I focused on one or two things, I'm going to meet most of my wife's needs. If I get those one, two, three things done this week, that's big. And the same thing with her. And if we get those major things in, there's a lot that we're willing to overlook. There's a lot that we're willing to put up with each other. Same thing in friendship. Your friends aren't going to do everything you want. There may be some big things that you need to talk to them about, but there's also going to be a lot of other things that it's okay. You can just love them in the midst of that. We are all weak people. We have our ups and downs. And that's where we just need to continue to love people in those times. We love them. Don't speak hurtful words. Just another proverb on this. Proverbs 12:18, it says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Think about that. Someone's rash words are like a sword being thrust in your side. Anybody ever had that? You ever had a sword thrust? I remember a few years ago talking to my dad. My dad's getting up there in age, and he was just saying, you know what? I remember hearing sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt. What a lie. He said, I still remember things said to me on the playground at 5 years old. Man, those rash words, they hurt. They carry some wounds. We want to be careful of that. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Are you speaking like a sword thrust, or are you speaking like a medic, someone who's coming to bring healing? What are your words conveying? Are they building up or are they tearing down? We should make sure that we are loving others, and when one offends, we don't just retaliate with a rash word. We retaliate with a word of healing. Because oftentimes, we know the saying, hurt people hurt others, right? When a hurt person hurts you, you can hurt them back, or you can say, hey, let me find out what's going on in their life. We want to be that kind of friend. We want to be people that are doing those things. And let me also say this, as we talk about friendship, actually, as Charlie said this in the beginning, if you need a friend, our greatest friend is Jesus Christ. All your friends are going to disappoint you. It's neat that Jesus, they said he was a friend to sinners and tax collectors. He was the friend that was present. He was the friend that sharpened others. He was the friend that loved even when they wounded him. He was the friend that came and laid down his, he didn't just move some things, he laid down his life for me and you. That's what a friend does. And that's one of the things when we think about, when you know, you can ask yourself this question, what does my level of friendship say about my belief in God? And if you're like, well, hey, I'm an atheist, then you need to ask yourself this, how does your worldview allow you to live sacrificially for other people? Because whatever is ultimate in your life, it's going to be reflected in your friendships. And this is where in the Christian faith, our greatest commitment is to God, and he is the one who loved us and laid down his life willingly that we could be forgiven, that we could be healed, and that we could experience renewal. That's what true friendship is. You don't find that anywhere else. It's only in the Word of God that we see what he has done for us, and we see that we can follow him and laying down our lives for other people. And as we do that, we experience a relationship with him, and we experience relationship with other people. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the book of Proverbs and that illuminates so many things from how life works to our own hearts. And God, we all know and feel that we were made for friendships, not to live in isolation, but to live for others in which they can depend on us and we can depend on them. And Lord, I know all of us, we experience a degree of brokenness in life. And I pray that you would give us hope to face that. I pray that you would give us courage to change, maybe courage to drop some things, maybe courage to pursue relationships. Maybe people have been rejected and need the courage to do that again. In you, we find healing for all of those wounds. And I just pray for us. I pray that we would be good friends. I pray that we would sharpen one another. Pray for us as a church to be willing to love whoever walks through the doors, to be faithful friends with those around us. And I also pray that we just see the greatness of what Jesus has done for us. His love, his example, and how that and that alone powers us for life. God, we thank you that you are a rock that we can stand on, that we draw strength from you, that when we are weak, we are made strong, because we look at you and your love, your covenant, your blood. When it feels all the things around us give way, God, we find our hope and stay in you. And as we find our hope and stay in you, we can offer that to others as well. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.